Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Let me welcome next. We have Alex Oliva from Free Software Foundation Latin America, where he's a board member and a longtime free software advocate. And he will be speaking to us about a project he's been working on lately called Linux Libre, which is an effort to free the kernel Linux. Let me welcome Alex.
Good afternoon. It's a great honor to raise this a bit.
Oh, whatever.
don't worry about that. That's fine. It's a great honor to be here. I'd like to thank the FSF for inviting me to have this opportunity to speak to you. I'm going to speak a bit about how I got involved in this project and why I think it is so important. I'll tell you a bit about the history of, well, Linux Libre in particular and free software in general. The campaign started by Free Software Foundation Latin America and why we got involved in liberating Linux again. I'm going to tell you how we did that, how it's been adopted, and the challenges that we are perceiving for its adoption, and invite you to offer suggestions on how to improve that. Back in 1983, the spake Richard Stallman, let there be freedom, and well, for not 7 days, but kind of 7 years, people were working on a completely free software operating system. After the seventh year, they couldn't rest because it wasn't done yet. Turned out, this guy in Finland wrote a non-free kernel. Next year, he came to his senses and published it under a free software license. And shortly thereafter, the first commercial, completely free operating system was published. Now, I didn't know exactly when it happened, but Linux is not free anymore, and it hasn't been free for quite a while. Back in 2006, it became clear that something had to be done about this. And who took the lead was GNU/SANS. They, as far as I know, were the first distribution of GNU plus Linux to clean up the kernel, to remove every piece of non-free software that was introduced in Linux. Now, most people didn't realize that Linux is not free software. I find it very ironic that a number of people consider Linux as an icon of free software when it's not free software itself. Also find it ironic that some maybe 1 or 2 weeks ago, Richard Stallman was speaking in Spain, and some journalist decided to put in the title of the report that he said that Linux was not free software. Now, it's odd that he didn't say that, actually, but it's true. So, what GNU/SANS did at first was to come up with some scripts that looked for sequences of numbers that generally mean that there's code there, disguised as source code. It's object code, pre-compiled object code, disguised as source code. And then they wrote a script that removed those bits. The following year, the main developer of Black, which is another 100% free software distribution, came up with a variant of GNUSense script, and he started actually maintaining Linux Libre, named as such. Now, he's American, but he lives in Argentina. Next year, Free Software Foundation, Latin America, started this campaign that the goal was not quite to promote free software, because a lot of people are doing that. You know, there's even this open fracture in our community that started as a marketing program for free software. We're not concerned about promoting free software, we're concerned about promoting freedom. This is quite different at times. Because a number of people, including a number of Linux people, believe that if they put in some non-free components, they're going to reach a larger number of people and will thus be promoting the software. And the software will be more successful. Problem is, they won't be promoting freedom, because they'll be sending a message to people that, well, accepting some loss of freedom progressively is okay. So we call people to the social responsibility. Remind people that whenever you accept non-free software, whenever you give up your freedom, whenever you support those who take away everyone's freedom, everyone loses. When you accept, when you choose non-free software, you're acting beyond your own freedom. You're hurting others. That is a problem. That is a social responsibility problem. And this is the problem that the free software movement was created to address. Now, it's funny that in Latin America, unlike in the United States, we don't have this problem with word free. We say software libre or software libre, which unambiguously has to do with freedom, not with price. And as a consequence of that, very many people in Latin America, pretty much all of the communities related with free software, speak of free software. Problem is, a number of them don't realize that when they say they're part of the free software movement, they should be thinking of promoting freedom and not just promoting the software. So this campaign was started to remind people that, to bring back the original values of the free software movement into people's minds. And well, some idea of, we came with a slogan, be free, or in Spanish it's ser libre, or ser livre in Portuguese. And then, well, as part of this campaign, we realized that in order for people to be free, well, we need a completely free stack of software. But how can we do that if the very foundation of the GNU plus Linux operating system is not free? It's like, you know, when Richard speaks about when you see someone drowning and you can swim and it's not Bush. Then you have a moral obligation to try to save that person. Well, I saw an entire ship sinking, and I felt empowered like a Superman who could prevent that ship from sinking and harming all those people. So I realized I had to do that. So you see, Linux isn't free software. There is a lot of code there under various different licenses that do not respect your freedoms. In some cases, it's not that the license does not respect your freedom. The license is fine, but the code isn't. One of the consequences of the open fracture in our community that started in 1998, or became explicit in 1998, is that people started thinking of licenses as if that was the only way to disrespect someone's freedom. It's not. And Linux does that in a number of ways. I present here two examples of very many that cover some portions of Linux. So there is one that says, well, this file, which claims to be licensed under the GPL somehow, contains former data derived from proprietary unpublished source code. And permission is granted for the distribution of this former data in hexadecimal or equivalent format, not source code. Well, it's not free software. It's there in Linux. And then, if this isn't a network driver, something like 100 kilobytes, some people say it's just data. I don't believe that. Just get a look at that. You can see it's not data. It's code. You can see patterns. They're a code. Some people actually disassemble that to some extent. Now, the same vendor, a few years later, came up with another network driver, another for a different network card. And it says, well, in spite of the GPL, you cannot combine that software with that first one. Because the first is not under the GPL, right? Now, how come these two pieces are part of Linux? Say, if you distribute Linux, you're infringing on someone's copyright. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But the problem with the attitude of, oh, okay, it's firmware, we don't care, anything goes, leads to this kind of problem. So, well, we had to do something about it. So we had to take out all this crap. First step was to remove all the sourceless code. Everything that was disguised as source, but which was not actual source code, was taken out. Also, there are some pieces of data, which are very likely not code, that was provided under licenses, or without licenses, that we decided to take out. For instance, there is a driver, that is the video driver, that is not part of the Linux distribution yet, which has extracted code by looking at the some internal machine bus. So they didn't actually copy it from a proprietary driver offered by the video card manufacturer. No, they looked at what is going on inside the machine and copied that by this different means. Well, that's still the same code. In order to be free, you still need, under copyright law, permission from the copyright holder, which they haven't obtained. So if this driver is distributed, it is infringing on someone's copyright, and it's not respecting the freedoms of the recipient, because there's no source code for that. There is some data for configuring video capture cards that falls in the same category, which is actually part of Linux. And this was what we did at first. At that point, Linux Libre was deserved the name that it got. It was free software. However, it wasn't suitable for using in a 100% free system yet. And why is that? Because it recommended non-free software. This came about some 3 months ago. There are a number of drivers, far more than I had imagined, that do not contain the non-free firmware in the driver code, but that request this firmware to be present in the machine, and that will only work if this piece of non-free software is installed on your machine. Of course, a number of GNU plus non-free Linux distributions add these pieces, so that many people don't realize that they're giving up their freedom. And even distributions regarded as 100% free still induced users to install those pieces when they had hardware that required those pieces of non-free software to run. We had to fix that, because in order for a system to be 100% free, it should not induce or recommend non-free software. So for the past 3 months, I started out the request firmware hunt, and along the way, I found a number of pointers to these pieces of non-free software in the documentation that accompanies Linux. I removed that as well. We don't want to point users. We don't want to recommend users to download non-free software. And what we have today, and I really mean today, is suitable for 100% free systems. Now, is this enough? I'm not sure. For freedom one to be respected, you must be able to study the source code and to adapt it to suit your needs. There are some portions of a number of drivers that contain data, configuration data for hardware devices. If you don't have documentation for those pieces of hardware, if the code doesn't have comments explaining what those numbers are up to, what they mean, then you cannot effectively adapt the software to suit your own needs. I'm not sure that still qualifies as free software, but that's a debate that we should probably carry out sometime today or tomorrow. So what does the Linux Libre project actually offer? Well, there is a dblob main script that will, you give it a Linux, a non-free Linux tarball. It will extract the files. It'll run a version-specific dblob script and then pack it back and offer you an X-delta in case you want to see what changed or see how much or how little actually changed. Now, the reason we chose X-delta rather than a patch is that a patch is reversible. So the idea is that, okay, we're creating free versions of Linux. If you have the non-free version and you want to know what changed, or if you have the non-free version and you want to get a free version, you can apply the X-delta and get a free version, even if we are not distributing that anymore. But we wouldn't like people to take our free version and reverse it and get a non-free version. because that would amount to distributing non-free software. We don't want to do that. Now, there is this develop and the kernel version, like 2.6.28, which knows which files in that version of Linux contain non-free software or recommend non-free software. And it, for each of these files, it runs a develop check, develop script, and then makes some adjustments so that the code compiles again. Develop check is actually the monster that I wrote to hunt and kill blobs and other pieces of software that recommend non-free software. So it basically is a huge list of regular expressions, some that can recognize heuristically blobs, like the original GNUSEN script did, some that recognize known blobs that do not match those patterns, or that recognize sequences of code or documentation that would recommend non-free software, and some that actually say, oh, this looks like a blob, or this looks like it is recommending non-free software, or this looks like a request for firmware, which is typically non-free. But this one is okay. So we can run the script on a tarball, a Linux tarball, or on a patch for Linux, or on individual files, and then it will report, hey, there's a blob here. So I run this when I compile versions of Linux Libre, or when I adopt patches, new patches, I run them through the script, and it will let me know if I'm doing something bad. Sometimes I have to adapt the script because all the time they're adding code that is non-free, and they're adding code that is free, but looks like non-free. So this is where most of the maintenance goes. What do we release? In addition to these scripts, we release tarballs and xDeltas. So today, I hoped I'd be able to announce that this is available. I won't be able to do that because the server crashed overnight. So I know I have working versions there on the server. I just can't get to them. I have the script here in case someone is interested, but this is too slow to run the script. So hopefully tomorrow I'll be able to announce it officially. We also offer binaries for people who find them more convenient. There are people like Ali Gunduz, or however, is Ali here? He was supposed to be here. Oh, that's unfortunate. Well, he started this kind of sub-project that he dubbed Freedom Shop that builds .dab versions of pristine Linux Libre kernels. Well, thanks to Ali for that. We also have plans, and in some cases we already do, track upstream distributions. Like, say if you use a not quite free GNU plus Linux distribution, then you can adopt, the idea is that you can easily become a user of a free system by adopting these binaries. I currently create binaries for FreedAura, which the blog distribution uses. I'm kind of looking for people, or probably end up doing that myself, create freed Debian binaries, and also Uhuru Ubuntu. Uhuru means free or freedom in some African language. So it kind of fits. If you can help, that would be great. We have brand new server offered by the Free Software Foundation. Thank you all. So we can run virtual machines on it. We can have various distributions installed and to build binaries for. Currently, Linux Libre is used by GNuSense, although that's the earlier version, the version before I got involved. Blag uses the binaries that I've been maintaining for Fedora. The free distribution that existed until the day before I got my E used those same binaries. Trifkel is Spanish, 100% free GNU plus Linux distribution. Musix GNU plus Linux is adopting, is preparing the next release using Linux Libre. It's an Argentinian live 100% free distribution. Dynbolic is another 100% free distribution which uses Linux Libre. And a number of users of various distributions are often reported, hey, I compiled binaries for this, or hey, I'm running this or that. So it's good. Adoption is actually exceeding my initial expectations. But I've faced, let's say, significant problems with the Fedora community. Because I wanted to maintain Linux Libre for Fedora. So hey, let's at least offer it as an option. But no, they don't want to do that. Ubuntu started a 100% free project and then canceled it. Debian had a long debate recently on whether to remove non-free pieces of software from the kernel or not. And they decided to keep them in the free repository that they call main. Now, why do they do that? Is it because they don't care about freedom? I don't think so. I think that the line of reasoning is that these blobs, these pieces that vendors offer to enable pieces of hardware to work, and to enable the vendors to control the users, actually, the distribution think, hey, see, if we don't put these pieces in, then we're going to lose users to the other distributions that do. And I believe they're right in that. There's a two coming up there. I mean, you have two questions? Yeah, right. I know, this is the last slide, actually, I think. So, problem is there is an incentive to betray users in the community. If you think of the prisoner's dilemma, which is kind of what's going on here, once someone betrays the community, then the other will also betray and so on. And problem is, the big problem here is that the defection strategy, which is dominant, helps the aggressors of our community. It sends them the message that, hey, the community is accepting your aggression. Carry on. Now, this is terrible. This leads to a tragedy of the commons. And how can we change this? How can we improve the situation? Well, first, many people are led away from Linux Libre and 100% free distribution in general out of fear that things will not work. Well, is it true that some things break? No. Nothing breaks. Some things stop working. And why do they not work? Because the vendor doesn't want them to work. It's not a choice of the distribution. If you want to give up your freedom to the vendor, you can still do that. But the distributions that claim to be aligned with the free software movement shouldn't help vendors do that to the community. We can change it by, we can lead by example. We can choose freedom ourselves. That's one of the best ways to teach That's one of the best ways to educate. And then we can, the more we educate users to the importance and value of freedom, the more we shift the incentives for distributions to respect them. Hope we can get to that. Now, the key way to avoid the tragedy of the commons is to come up with a credible commitment among the commons members. I wish we could get popular distros to come up with such a commitment and avoid betraying one another and their users. Now, of course, it would be much easier if we took it upstream, right? If we could hope that Linux will someday be free, that would be great, but it's an uphill battle. Many people have tried before, myself included. Many people have failed. Should keep trying, but we cannot count on that. So, meanwhile, there is Linux Liberty, and the server is down at the moment. Thank you. We have minus 2 minutes for questions. Thanks. I'll be around.
Yeah, I'm certainly hoping that we can have more discussion about this tomorrow during the unconference session. So please, if you want to get something going, let's get a proposal on the board and up on the wiki. So it's lunchtime. If everybody can be back here at about 12:25 so we can get started again. It'll be right outside. Thanks. Well, yes, 1:25. Negative 5 minutes to lunch, I hope.